You're listening to WCOM, LP, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro. And this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. This is bringing Carolina coast to coast and the speakeasy to your doorstep. Your host Claudio, Renaissance man and bard of WCOM, has opened the doors of the speakeasy to invite you all to come in as you are.
Absolutely. We're fully dressed or naked.
Right, right. We're not taking pictures. This isn't TV. You can come in your PJs if you like.
That's right.
Or not. Yes. Anyway, come in, find a seat, and get comfortable in the place where you're always welcome and can always expect the best. And good morning, Claudio.
You've had a
bit of a run this morning.
Boy, I tell you what, look out for traffic between here and Durham. I was leaving the Carolina Theater to get here and got held up for 25 minutes. So I'm just going to call you and tell you, hey, Audrey, the show's yours.
Well, you had warned me. It might be a little bit late.
I did.
So I'm glad you got here on time.
The Carolina Theater is getting closer to opening up for the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, which comes around about mid-month. You can look that up on carolinatheater.org. And I want to acknowledge them very quickly as my sponsor for the Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Today we've got the lovely privilege of having Bob Crowley back with William Lilly, and the subject is going to be independent film. Is there anything else we need to mention right off the top, Audrey? Just want to cover all our bases so we can just get into conversation and not care what happens.
I don't know.
Just acknowledging primarily the Carolina Theater that's still undergoing renovation. It's going to open up just for the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival and then shut down again to continue this million-dollar restoration that's going on.
And they'll be probably opening up regularly for full business in September sometime,
yes.
You think?
September, likely slightly before, but I know September is when crew starts getting called back in, so...
Do you know all the extent of everything they're doing? They're just redoing the whole building?
Oh, they're refacing pretty
everything.
Much all the imperfections, yeah. So the theater's going to be absolutely stunning when you get back in.
Wow.
And even the carpeting.
Uh-huh.
I told them I wanted some of that old carpet.
Okay.
So we'll see if I get any.
Yeah, it sounds like it might be a good place to go and do a little, scavenging.
Yes. Well, do that whenever I can. Of course, Jamin, the building manager, he's been in hospital, so he's had some things taken care of, and hopefully he'll be in better shape, too, when the whole thing comes around.
We do have one other thing we ought to acknowledge, and that was the fact that this past Saturday we had a very successful one-man show with Claudio down in Broadway.
Indeed. At the BMF Tool and Die in Broadway, we had a good amount of people show up, paid the bills.
Yep.
All
and
right.
That's as much as can be said for the heat of that day.
And those of you who missed it, you know, you go to an art show, they say, oh, they'll have food. So you get the usual cheese and wine and maybe some fruit. Not at a Claudio show. Roast venison. I mean, that was...
And with roast vegetables. And it was gone at the end of the day. I was lucky to have a good bite.
I'm sure.
But I'm glad everybody got fed.
So is Bob.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Bob even did some photojournalism. Bob had me on Facebook before I took a good breath.
Yeah.
Well, had the whole event on there, including a picture of the empty venison.
Yes. Well, I didn't see the empty one. I saw the full one.
Well, I guess it was the full one.
Yeah, it was the full. I made sure of that because I knew what I was going to do to it.
It's funny. Remember that last rush just before leaving, before packing everything up? Everybody was still there. I said, I'm getting ready to pack that up. So if anybody wants any more, get it now. And every single person got up then.
Licked the pan clean.
Yes, we did. But that was a good thing. So, hey, introduce us to what's happening here today, because that's exactly what's happening is you guys, you and William Lilly.
Yep. Will and I are here to talk about independent film and indie film. Apex Arts Council is very, very much looking forward to working with Will and some of the other indie filmmakers around here on some programs that we want to put together. The Arts Council idea is to connect people to the arts and let them find their own level with it and work with them to find what makes sense. Well, one of the arts out there, one of the arts that's actually very, very important in this area is indie film. A lot of people don't realize the amount of film that is actually made in and around the whole Triangle area from Apex to Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Raleigh, Durham, all over the place here. There's lots and lots of indie film done.
And might I add, just to toot the horn of the Carolina Theater one more time, they're one of the pinnacles for independent film.
Absolutely. And that's an important part. Well, the Apex Arts Council decided we needed to look hard at that. And how could we do it? Well, obviously, we can encourage the filmmakers like Will and some others. But we wanted to do something a little bit more tangible. And that's to try to encourage the public and find ways to encourage the public to come out and see some of these films. Most people will go to movies. They think, oh boy, this is great. You know, you go to a movie, you go sit in the dark, have your popcorn and all that stuff. But when you tell them it's indie film, they usually turn off to the idea because the general perception of the public is that indie film is badly written, badly directed, badly photographed, and badly acted. And the problem is...
And there has been enough of that done just that way.
Yeah.
I was going to say, he's seen my films.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Really.
I was in one of them, actually.
You were.
That explains it.
Yeah. Well, that's not quite true. Yeah, a lot of indie film is like that. It's it looks like it was shot through a Navajo rug as a filter. It's just awful. But there's some really, really good film out there.
Yeah,
so how can we do that? Well, one of the things we want to do is we want to work with Will and some of the other filmmakers to find those films that actually are worth watching by people and put together Saturday afternoon triple feature. We may take, let's say, a feature length, an hour and a half film and 2 half-hour films. We'll put it together and we'll run it. Maybe the first time we'll run it at the Howley Cultural Arts Center in Apex. And you get to come in there, pay $5 to $7 for the afternoon, get a popcorn, get a soda, sit down there, watch some really good film you wouldn't see anywhere else. Well, then, what do we do with it? Well, we take it on the road because the next time we may come up to the Carolina Theater and rent the Carolina Theater and run it there. And then the following week we may have the same show run down at the Temple Theater in Sanford. The idea is to keep these shows moving and not just do one. While we're running one in Durham, we may have another one, another grouping of three playing in Sanford, and then like a regular film distributor, swap them the following week. We may go to Raleighwood. Or I don't know where we'll go with it, but that's the idea.
Let's bring Willie into this conversation,
yes.
Who both directs, writes, and produces independent film,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I do a little bit of everything. I wear a lot of hats and keeps me very busy.
Doesn't pay
a lot of the bills at the moment, but yes, we stay very busy with that.
We in the arts seem to know that feeling better than anybody.
Oh, boy.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
So, I'm looking forward to working with the Apex Arts Council. I see a lot of potential with what Bob's been talking about, and I know a lot of filmmakers in the area would love to have the exposure that he's talking about.
No doubt.
And we all would love to get that stigma taken off the name indie film. I think that's a really big problem where you have a lot of people who think it's just art for the sake of art or gore for the sake of gore when you get into the horror films and things like that. And they really don't realize that there are people out there that are writing really good stories. I mean, you look at Hollywood and they're recycling the same thing over and over.
No doubt.
On the way here, we were talking about the number of remakes that are being done. Like they're even looking to remake Lethal Weapon.
Oh, good
and
Lord.
Total Recall. And I'm thinking, well, with all these number of people who are writing, I'm sure there's
some
something.
New stuff, yeah.
I mean, you go out into the into Carver or Chapel Hill alone, you could throw a rock in the air and hit somebody who's got an idea for a story that's original.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it may not be 100% original, but, you know, it's still better than recycling the same movie.
You're looking at a fella here that's got several, but you
know,
one thing I wanted to reflect very quickly on the independent film. I think in some cases it's been masterful on the written and the creative end, but they haven't necessarily been able to employ and engage the kind of actors or the kind of personas that could really bring that to life.
Yeah.
Or the weakness could have been in the directing. It's not so much that in some cases that the story was weak. The story was strong, but the way they presented it. Weakened.
And, you know, that is a big problem, is I think a lot of problems lie within the directors.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have a thing where you look at the casting and you say, well, this person couldn't act their way out of a paper bag. Well, why were they cast in the first place?
Stop bringing your buddies in.
Exactly.
Basically.
But that's another problem with independent film, is we don't have the money to hire quality actors.
Yet.
I mean...
But you know,
yet, exactly.
Yeah. But on the other hand, too, try approaching them anyway and see, you know, try approaching some of these people that you think you may not be able to get, because you might be surprised. They might be willing to do a lot of it for the exposure.
Yep. Exactly. And there was a little fantastic short film, I think it was about 2007. Actually, it might have been even earlier than that. It might have been 1990s, but it was Ewan McGregor.
Hmm.
Just a little short film he did, him walking along the beach and finding a little chocolate eclair on the beach. It's a fantastic little short. You might want to look it up
on
YouTube.
One that he produced? Or?
I'm not sure if he produced it, but he was starring in it.
Little short.
And it was, I can't remember the title of it, but it was a fun little film.
Mm-hmm. I'd heard that he dabbled in indie film.
He does. And there's people out there like that. Paul Giamatti does a lot of independent films. And so, I mean, the people are out there who are willing to do them.
Yeah.
But it's finding the people who will get behind the project, maybe as a producer, or even donate their time for a producer credit, or even find some people who will bring funds to the film to help get it made. Because a lot of your overhead is cost of actors and crew.
Oh, no doubt. And do you personally go about auditioning your actors and people that you consider to be a vital part of this?
Well, it's funny you ask that. About a week or so ago, we had an audition for my upcoming film, Simon Says, and we just put out a casting call. We said, here's the specifications for the film and what we're looking at doing and the kind of people we're looking for. And I had somewhere in the neighborhood of 150 people respond, knowing ahead of time that this could be a deferred paid project, which means you won't get anything until we get something.
Yeah.
And so we had 150 something submissions, and we weeded that out and went through all of them, and finally found a group of people that we wanted to see. And said, okay.
Were you going for a certain look? And when you say weeded them out, did you actually have interaction with them, or did you just consider image?
No, what we start with are headshots, resumes, and any video demos that they send us.
Right.
And that's...
Which is qualifiable as an audition. Yeah.
Because what we're looking for is a specific look, and then see who has that look that they're able to portray what we want.
Someone that can also not only have a look, but bring a certain atmosphere.
Exactly. Because if they can bring a little bit of themselves to the character, then that is a huge weight off your shoulders as a director. If they've got something...
The quickest example of what I'm talking about when I say atmosphere, and I know you don't need explanation, I'm just saying it to the public in general here, anyone that's tuning us in, of course, is consider, for example, Burton Harris or Sean Connery walking into a room, that they don't just take on a character part, they become the entire persona of what they're performing.
Right. Because when you're writing something, it's almost like you're watching the movie in your head when you're writing the stuff down, and you kind of visualize what this person's going to be before you even get it out of your pen or type it out. And, that's been a difficult thing with casting, is finding the absolutely perfect person to fit what you're looking for, how they speak, and how they portray the character.
Generally, it makes auditioning a long process.
It does. And like I said, we've been going about this for almost a week and a half now, and we've still got four people that we need to find their actors.
I got you.
We still got to fill those roles, but we have some people came into the audition session and just nailed it. I was like, you're perfect.
Good. All right.
Others, we had them read for one character and then said, wait a minute, let me let you try this. Take this set of the script, take a look at it, come back in and read this character. And voila, we have a completely different person for another character that we didn't look at him that way when we looked at the resumes and headshots.
Yeah, it's amazing what you discover.
Yeah, and we had just for the in-person auditions, we had a good 50 people show up. And some coming as far away as Norfolk, Virginia.
Where were you holding them?
Right there in Cary.
Okay.
And, it was a little bit of a cluster for a few minutes there, and everybody was so excited to be there. They showed up early. And But, once we got things rolling, I had a good few minutes to interact with each person.
That's
and
good.
I think that's – a lot of people take the video auditions. Some people, like as far away as South Florida, were interested in my film. So naturally, they wouldn't drive all the way up to North Carolina.
No.
So they send in these video auditions, and you lose some of the interaction.
I can see that. Yeah,
and
you really
it's
don't know
really
that.
So much better to speak with them in person, see what how they react to certain things you throw at them, and if you can actually be in the same room with them for more than a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'm about to get up and walk out of here right now after you guys.
No. That's right. I'm just looking at you. I'm looking at you like, how long is this going
to
go on?
Exactly. So yeah, being able to interact with people is very important.
Absolutely. And, and that also gives you the feel of how you're going to like this person from behind the camera and
exactly.
Want to be in the same room.
Because if you can't be in the same room with them for 5 minutes, then mm-hmm. chances are you're not going to last 6 weeks on a production.
You're going to create an uncomfortable vibration
exactly.
anyway, if nothing else. Just to let you folks that are just tuning us in know, you're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater here on WCOM 103.5 FM with my wonderful co-host Audrey Layden. We've also got Bob Crowley, president of the Apex Arts Council, and then some. There's a whole history to connect with that. I'll let him fill in the dots. And we've got William Lilly, producer, director, writer for independent film, and that's the topic today, independent film.
Mm-hmm.
So back to you.
Back to me.
Back to you.
I think I've talked
long. I'm going to put you on the spot.
No, fantastic. I love to talk film. I really do. And
it's so definitely one of my passions.
And I really am glad that Bob had approached me with this, these film ideas, not so much as scripts that he's trying to weasel in, but...
well, I want to make sure we promote it. I mean, one of the issues is that people don't go to watch independent films. So the more people we can convince, the more money we can drive into it, and maybe we can go out and find some really, I don't know about A-list actors, but maybe D-list actors or something, people that you'd know. But anyway,
I say approach anyone.
Well, yeah, I agree with that, but we can start bringing them in. And this isn't out in Hollywood, and everybody's dream is to move out to Los Angeles. You can do it right here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, or otherwise approach people that know these people to approach them. You know,
absolutely.
I say it's all worth a try.
Absolutely, and we can do this all right here. If you've ever had a dream of being an actor, well, hey, you never know. It might actually happen here. But we don't have it happen without money. Ars Gratia Artis is wonderful, but it's more like Ars Gratia Pecuniam if you really want to get down to it. You have to do it for some money, and this is a way to get money into it. If the Arts Council can make this work, then we can grant some of that money out to the filmmakers to be able to do the things that they need to do.
Now, on that note, go ahead and give us a contact information.
For the Apex
Arts
Council?
For the Apex Arts Council, as well as then William Lilly for independent film that you're working on.
Will's going to have to do his own, but the Apex Arts Council...
Alone again, naturally.
Yeah, exactly. There's two great places you can find us. One is our, of course, our website, and that's www.apexartscouncil.org. Real simple to thing. And then
what
you can also find us on Facebook. And that's usually the better place at the moment because, frankly, I'm still working on getting a good webmaster. I'm fired two of them already.
And then over to you, Will. You fired two of them already. Okay,
yeah.
I almost missed that part. Give us your contact information, too. Are you still pulling people in for auditions, et cetera? Go ahead.
No, we've closed up the auditions for now.
Uh-huh.
But more information about the film that we're currently working on, Simon Says,
mm-hmm.
Can be found online.
What's the genre?
It is a Hitchcock-style thriller.
All right.
Ooh,
I don't think there's enough of those going around.
I agree. Years ago, I was working on the conclusion of my apprenticeship at the Munich Hilton. This was back in 1972 during the time of the Olympic Village massacre. That,
mm-hmm.
And the hotel was within hearing range. We could hear the gunshots.
Mm-hmm.
And I was apprenticing there, and two films came out that year, and we had both directors in the hotel. And one of them was Alfred Hitchcock introducing Frenzy.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was Frank Sinatra. Don't ask me how those connections swayed. bringing in The Godfather. Frank Sinatra and Marlon Brando were in the hotel.
Wow.
But I was dating, at the time I was dating a chambermaid, an Irish chambermaid from the Hilton Hotel. And somehow Hitchcock, must have good taste himself, picked on her to play a corpse in an interview. So he put her in a potato sack, had his feet on her belly while he was doing this interview for Munich Television about his new movie.
Audrey was looking a little uncomfortable over there, like she did not know where this was going.
She never knows where this is going.
Oh, to be in films.
So I saw my girlfriend that night on television in the potato sack with Hitchcock referring to her as, oh, this is a corpse from Norway.
Was she from Norway?
No, something fishy about that.
Irish.
No, she wasn't. She was Irish.
Irish.
Marie O'Shea.
Yeah.
A long time ago. I'm sure she won't remember me.
Well, if Whatever somebody wanted to find world. You, what about your company and your website and the whole thing, if they want to go look?
Well, a lot of my work is on...
Your wanted posters.
Excuse me.
Wanted posters.
Don't forget your wanted posters.
We've
but,
all got those.
Yeah, I put a lot of my stuff out on Vimeo. It's a great website, V-I-M-E-O, /MoriDogMovies. That's MoriDogMovies. Fantastic website for filmmakers, experimental film work, things like that, short films. It's basically a more sophisticated version of YouTube.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
You don't have to be a filmmaker or artsy person to get on there, but there's some fantastic work out there.
And this is also ways that people can stay connected to you.
Right. That's one way. We are on Facebook, myself and my wife. She has Eternal Rose Entertainment, which is...
I know of that, yeah. But
yes.
Explain that a little bit.
Well, she does photography.
Okay.
And she does headshots for local actors.
Gotcha.
And she's also my casting director. I answer to her.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
I'm the director, but she is the boss.
As it should be. As it should be.
Oh, my God. I knew that was coming.
If I want a place to sleep.
Well, on your next interview, put her in a potato sack and then keep the interview.
I think I might be the one in the potato
Sorry,
sack
darling.
After this.
I might get at her as tossed at me now.
If you meet her, you'll be in the potato sack.
That's right.
So, yeah, she's been a huge support. She's actually gotten behind me. 120%. She actually.
Well, I've known of Eternal Rose Photography for a long time. Has it been around for a while?
No.
The name actually rings true for something.
She's been doing this. We've been working on it since about, I want to say, about 2008.
Okay.
When we really started getting into the film.
Maybe it's the Rusty
industry.
Bucket thing that.
Yeah, she
made
probably
it apparent to me.
I probably mentioned it a few times.
Could be.
So
it just jumps out for some reason.
It does, and so she's been doing a lot of work with headshots and for local actors. She does the on-set photography for me.
Oh, good, okay.
She's a makeup artist. She's a former fitness model herself, so she knows quite a bit about doing makeup for shows and things like that.
Hmm.
So
perfect.
You know, fantastic person to have in my corner.
No doubt.
She recently was involved with a film called Remnants, written by Paul Hilberger, directed by Tim Sesniak, and DP was Michael Back, and. That was all filmed in and around Apex. They're having some great success with that.
Tell us about the one you had Bob Crowley in.
Dead End Job.
You didn't have him playing a woman again, did you?
No.
But it probably would have looked better.
I'm never going to get that out of
you're
there.
You're getting typecast,
yeah, Bob.
Bob, you're getting typecast.
I guess. Hey, actors do what they got
to
do.
He needs to be in a sequel with Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Moving right along.
No, explain his part in the film and what that film was.
Yeah, he just had a walkthrough role in Dead End Job. It was
I did have a line.
He did have a line. He was a featured extra, is what we would call it. It was a 65-minute dark comedy. It's about a guy who he gets fired from his job, and his girlfriend says, "Well, if you don't get another job and show me that you're serious, I'm gone." She says, "Okay, I'm going to go find whatever job I can get." Goes through the newspaper, as you know we all do from time to time, and finds a lot of closed doors. And then he comes across this guy who's ready to jump on the opportunity to give him a job. And it sounds like a huge pyramid scheme. Turns out he's working for death.
Oh, boy.
So with the
death in the afternoon.
Yeah, so it's a fun little comedy, all the mishaps that that he runs into. And
does it play on the macabre a little? I haven't seen it, so I'm
well,
not really interested.
There is the fact that when he accidentally kills the wrong person, they send out the Angel of Mercy, Al, to clean up after him.
Uh-oh.
Who is he is played by the fantastic Mr. Lee Armstrong from Greenville, North Carolina area. He is a fantastic actor, and I was very pleased to have him on set.
I was sitting behind the camera when he was doing it, and we almost had lost a couple of takes because the whole place was just devolving into laughter.
Perfect.
He's just incredible. And the great scene is that the person he kills accidentally is actually his girlfriend, and she's a waitress in a restaurant, and they're sitting there having lunch, and she walks over and like throws the silverware. He says, "What's the matter? You killed me last night." "Well, I didn't mean it."
Yeah, right.
And that particular scene, what was so fantastic about it was Lee just really got into the character. I mean, that was just the epitome of fantastic acting. Right. Yeah. Just out of nowhere, he picks up this little jelly packet off the table and rips it open and starts just eating it with his finger.
Little method acting here?
Exactly.
Little Marlon Brando thrown in?
This is what I mean about independent film. Nobody, if you don't watch it, you don't get to see these wonderful pieces in here. I mean, the film is a good one. I wouldn't know that it's great, but it's good. I mean, it's greater for having me, perhaps, but then...
yay!
And here I thought he was about to slip into a panic. Meanwhile, it's a boast.
But that's just it. These are the kind of films I want to get out there and let people actually see that there is really life in indie film. And, boy, we need to
cultivate
that.
We do need to broaden our scope as far as...
Well, because somebody... I want to jump in here and say, if somebody wanted to see Dead End Job, how could they do that now?
Currently, they need to contact me.
Okay.
We did hold a screening last year in Cary with our friends over at the one of the sports bars, the Rally Point.
Okay.
And we had a great turnout. About 60 people came out for that.
All right.
And
need to inform me of this. I'll come too.
Okay. And I'm looking to set up another one. We screened it twice in Wilmington and a possible third one coming up.
Didn't it win an award?
It won a couple of awards, yes. We took...
It sounds like fun.
Yeah. What kind of awards?
We took Audience Choice at the 2010 Cape Fear Independent Film
Festival. Very nice. And Cape Fear Independent Film Festival actually has a very good growing reputation.
Yes, it's a fantastic festival. Some great people that work with them. And we try to make it our kind of annual pilgrimage. We go down there for the festival each year. And we have been since 2009.
I live 10 miles from that gorgeous, haunting river.
Cape Fear.
And that, speaking of Cape Fear, I've heard that there might be a remake of Cape Fear, the movie.
Again, after
you never know.
Scorsese.
But going, I'm digressing. But the
You're on the speakeasy.
We do a lot of that here.
I just do that a lot in general.
You fit right in.
That's it. You're family now, bro.
I am, as if I wasn't before.
Right.
Having to see him in a dress, that's a little more family than I need.
You know, when you were talking about this guy slipping into the comedic role so well, it made me think of, I watched a biography on Peter Sellers not too long ago, and there were actually people behind the camera that had to leave the room so that they wouldn't laugh out loud from filming this guy.
Yes. We almost had that.
And there were also some takes with Peter Sellers himself where he kept cracking up and couldn't keep a straight face.
Those are always great outtakes.
Oh, man,
And that's something I always like to watch on DVDs are the outtakes and the bloopers.
Yes.
Fantastic stuff. But, we also pulled in the best feature at the 2010 Pittsburgh Film Workers Association Festival.
Hey.
Some fantastic people
now,
up
there.
Now,
what took it in that direction, Pittsburgh?
I found just a list of festivals online that had... I will be honest, I look for the lower cost or free film festivals to submit to. And, after you submit to a couple like the Cork Film Festival or the Chicago International, you start to dwindle in funds.
Mm-hmm.
So I start looking for the $5, $10, $20 submission fees. And
so you're not going to Sundance, huh?
Not just yet.
Not yet.
But if anybody would like to make a charitable donation to our cause,
calling Mr. Redford. I would like. I would love to go there, even if for no other reason than just to go hang out there.
To see people. But that's
hanging out.
We're talking about festivals. We have to do a little plug for the Carborough Film Festival. Now
let's
these are shorter films than what you do. Will they're just 20 minute or under. But they are they're accepting submissions now. So
Really?
Yeah,
I'm glad you told me. Good, because one of these days I'm going to enter one.
So go Google anybody that's interested in the Carborough Film Festival.
How soon is it coming up?
Just Google it.
How soon is it coming up?
It'll be in, I think it's like October or
something. Okay, that's usually the time they do that.
But anyway, I just
Jackie still running that?
Jackie Helby and Nick Berry are still deeply involved.
Perfect. So we'll promote that quite a bit between now and then.
My good friend Nick Berry.
I'll throw it in.
He's a good guy.
I'm glad you did.
He makes some strange but very nice films.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In fact, my daughter, Ryan, was in one of his recent films called 12. She did a full nude scene. Well, she's a toddler. It's okay.
I was going to get...
Yes. Well, want to scratch this one from the speakeasy?
I want to make one point, though. Not all.
Before you do that, let me let folks out there know again. You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. This is WCOM 103.5 FM with Audrey Layden, my lovely co-host. This is yours truly, Claudio, here speaking, and Bob Crowley, president of the Apex Arts Council, and also William Lilly of Independent Film, for those of you who are just tuning us in. Okay, back to you, Bob.
Well, the thing I wanted to mention here is a lot of people look at independent film, and they also see it as either being very edgy or a little bit beyond what their tastes are. I remember screening a film for some folks in an assisted living facility recently, and they sat in rapt silence through the whole thing, and then when it ended, they still sat there in silence because they didn't understand a word of it. Okay, that's fine, but there are some really good family-friendly...
This is a rather disturbing image you just gave us there.
Yeah,
I'm serious. Did he forget to put on the subtitles?
No. There are some really good and even family-friendly independent films out there, and we should be watching them. We should be looking at them. We should be encouraging these folks, and that's why the programs that I'm looking to start through the Arts Council are so important.
We should be open to all forms of forms
absolutely.
Of expression.
That's absolutely.
The whole idea.
Well, you want to support new art and artists coming up, because
yes.
if you ever just go on TV and realize there is nothing you want to watch,
yeah.
and you wonder how come they've got command of the airwaves and there's just so much nothing out there.
Mm-hmm. It's because the corporate has such little imagination.
You've got to get out there and, you know,
and
from
this.
The ground up and support.
And this is what
an
arts council really does for its community. The feeling is that you don't play to an audience. As an arts council, we're not looking to define an audience. What we are there to do is to connect people to art, and that's what we're going to do. And if that art happens to be independent film, as we're talking about now, then we're going to connect there. We're also going to connect the visual art and sculpture and culinary art. That's an art too. And if you've never been at Claudio's house for dinner, you'll understand. there's all kinds
of art.
Thank you for the
plug.
I'm a writer. That's art.
Yes, indeed.
Poets, I mean, they're all there. And the more we can bring that together, the more we can pull together either multidisciplinary or just single disciplines and encourage that, the better it is. And that's my job. I mean, I write some books. That's cool. But my bigger job is to connect people to the arts in a meaningful manner.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that plug, too, in a meaningful manner. And I think what happens on regular television, commercial television, is that the corporate have bought up so much of the old footage, the old film footage, that they've got to find a way to justify playing it. So instead of going to anything new, they're wearing out the old that's already paid for and that they know sort of pay for itself.
Absolutely.
More or less.
I mean, I like watching old movies. I could see some films over
and over.
So do I,
but it's time for new stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, I can watch Casablanca anytime, Red October, any of those things. But I kind of like to see some new stuff, like you say, and different stuff, and maybe something that's willing to take a little bit of a chance.
Yeah, and there are also, you know, a lot of movies are based on themes or something that's going on in the public mindscape, and there's so much new to dig up, to uncover, and to explore now, to create conversation, to stimulate some kind of response to what's going on instead of this numbness.
I'm
going to
make one comparison here that I don't know how you feel about it, but if you listen to most radio around here, it's like the studio films. They're there. They're doing the standard rote stuff. They're replaying the same music over and over and over. I work a lot in a coffee house, and if I sit here one more Lady Gaga song, I'm going to throw something. I mean, it's just the same over and over, and that's fine. I mean, she's a wonderful singer. She makes some good music, but the 84th time I hear it, I'm not looking for it. So that's what you get on the commercial radio stations. However, when you come over to WCOM, you're willing to take a little bit of a chance. I mean, just the fact that we're here and able to talk about things like that, that's important.
We're not in the can. We're fresh out of the can.
We sure are.
What we basically say is, if you don't like what you're listening to right now, tune in a half an hour. You'll find something entirely different.
You got it. And that's important.
Don't you dare. Stay.
Well, I got a lot more to say. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll say after.
Don't you leave the room.
But you know, it's important to do this here. I mean, you are connecting people to the arts in a meaningful manner by just having the show and bringing on
the difference in the people
that you do. I mean, today you've got myself and Will here. You may have Ira David Wood a different day, and you may have somebody else a whole other day. And this is a way of connecting people, of showing them that there's more out there in the world. You do a great service, and I'm trying to just catch up with you.
Well, thank you, sir. And you are.
Yep.
And I want to interject on that whole point about the media being recycled over and over and over.
Oh, yeah.
Not just in movies, but in radio as well.
And television.
And television.
A bunch of others.
In general.
And it was best explained to me by a former coworker. He said to me, "What kind of ice cream do you like?" And you can answer that question.
Well, I like either strawberry or vanilla mostly.
Okay. And what kind do you like?
Chocolate mint.
Okay.
Chocolate chip mint, yeah, is one of my favorites.
Okay. No, you actually all like vanilla. Mm. It's safe for everybody. So you get vanilla radio,
I like
vanilla television.
Actually, my total favorite is rum raisin, sorry.
Without the raisins and without the ice cream.
Vanilla only good if you put chocolate syrup over it.
But you know, so everybody's favorite ice cream is vanilla because it's safe. And you know, you're going to have people who like the chocolate mints, who like the strawberries. But vanilla is safe. So if they don't go outside that box there, then they attract a lot more people. So the people who do like vanilla as well as other flavors, they'll still like it. I mean, you listen to the radio station and you hear, how many AC/DC songs are there in the world? There are so many, but they all sound the same. Why? Because it works for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you only have to play four or five of their songs on a classic rock station, and you appeal to everybody who likes AC/DC.
You've done the vanilla thing.
Exactly. Okay. The same thing with Led Zeppelin or plenty of the other bands. But then you start looking at television. You know, these cheesy sitcoms work.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it draws in the audience. So
he called us safe.
Mm-hmm. I didn't call you safe. I call vanilla safe.
We're chocolate chip mint. I'm sorry.
Yes,
Claudio doesn't know from vanilla.
Well, thank you.
I don't. There's definitely some nuts in this ice cream.
Oh, yeah. And this studio.
There you go. But, you know, you start looking at things like ER. There's a huge following for ER.
Mm-hmm.
And then how many spinoffs from that? Not necessarily spinoffs, but how many of these...
copycats.
Exactly, copycats. You've got, there was the short-lived Trauma, mm-hmm. and you know, even going back to Doogie Howser, but these medical dramas, House, which I personally love.
I like
it
too.
You know,
Sherlock Holmes is a doctor.
Exactly. Yeah. And you've got all these that mimic the success of that.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah, very much
so that's what works. That's what's safe. And that's why there's so many remakes of all these 80s films, 70s films. In fact, I was just talking to Bob on the way over here. There was a really, really horrible film called I Spit on Your Grave.
I've heard of it.
Yes, 1978 slasher film that was really... It was banned in several countries because it was so horrible. And they remade this film.
Oh, jeepers.
In just the last year or so. And what blew my mind was, as I was looking at some of the facts on it, the film had like a $2 million budget.
Hmm.
I said, you know, the $2 million, how much did it make? $500,000.
My goodness.
That was its gross run. I was like, are you kidding me?
Why on earth did they remake it?
Jesus. Exactly. What's the point?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it appealed to the cult people and the people who love the slasher, horror, gore for the sake of gore people. But
ironically, a lot of times you'll find that the cult people stick to the original.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and then Will's comment after that is they should have given me the $500,000. I would have made him a great film.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
You know, with $2 million, I could probably make, you know, 20 films.
Oh, yeah.
$2 million and an actual imagination.
You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And remakes are a perfect thing. You know, well, if it worked once, it must work again. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, let's try to remake Casablanca.
That's the corporate mentality. It's had a test run. Let's do it again.
Yeah, I mean, you mm-hmm. couldn't redo that. It would not be the same film. There are certain things that just can't be redone. And maybe the remakes are good because they get rid of the old trash or something. I don't know. It's just difficult to do.
I think a lot of those old ones, like Casablanca, are just not
sure.
are impossible to remake. You're not going to have the character and the absolute.
Who could redo Citizen Kane?
Right.
Who could redo the outlaw Josie Wales?
Indeed. Or Once Upon a Time in the West. That's one of my absolute favorites.
Sure. I mean, we all have those, and they just couldn't be done that way. They'd be so different that it's not the same.
I wouldn't go see it. I wouldn't be interested in seeing a remake.
Now, I've seen remakes that are better than the original, but those are the exception. And we don't...
You got any names there?
Yeah.
No, I was actually... I've been trying to...
Are we talking something beyond silent movies?
They put a soundtrack to that one. It must be awesome.
Well, actually, there are a number of silent films that were remade with soundtrack then, and look at Beauty and the Beast. Ben-Hur. I mean, Ben-Hur has had like 7 iterations or something since it was first done.
They never did that with Valentino's silent films.
No,
they?
Not Valentino, but with other actors in silent.
You know, that was really something.
William S. Hart was actually in the original Ben-Hur in silent. And Hart was a cowboy actor, but he played as Roman back there, and he pulled it off as much as you could ever do in silence.
Mm-hmm.
Until an arrow hit his hat.
When I actually saw had a chance to see an old Valentino silent film. And I was really surprised because you know how hokey they can look sometimes. Mm-hmm. He had presence on the film.
Oh, yeah. As the chaplain with some of his early stuff was amazing.
Actually, my favorite silent film had a friend of yours in it, Claudio, and that was Mel Brooks' silent movie where he had the only speaking role.
Was Marcel Marceau, yes.
And all he got to say was, hello.
Yeah. But the mime got it. But anyway, I mean, but those are the kind of films I mean. And there are lots of independent filmmakers out there making films as good as silent movie
let's get
and
back
some
to
of the
one
others.
Of them. So yeah, what is on the table at this point?
For Maury Dog Movies?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we are currently working on
Give us your past history first, past films you've made, and then let's go forward.
Wow, I started at a very young age when I was...
started as a child.
Mid-Lederhosen.
You know, my sister was bit by a moose once.
Uh-huh.
It's gone downhill now. Oh, no, yeah. I actually I got started when... In 2008, I realized there was not too much work for me up here as a radio DJ. The bigger companies, they get their people in there and they stick with
them.
Where
did you hail from before coming here?
Oh, I'm born and raised in Durham.
Okay.
I lived in Tallahassee, Florida for a couple of years and then came running back. I mean, you know, it's got to be bad in Tallahassee if you go running back to Durham.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I'm from there. I can say that.
Of course, I'd like to think Durham is becoming the new New Orleans. At least the jazz man thinks so. What's the... Forgive me.
The jazz man.
You'll remember about 5 minutes after off the air.
Yes. Winston Marsalis.
There you go.
He thinks it's the new New Orleans.
Well, yes. Maybe he did. Maybe he's right.
Hand signals here to bring this out.
I've stage managed him, but just the names. Too many
we
memories.
Be on
too many
he's reaching for something.
Yeah. Yes. We really need visuals on this sometimes.
Sometimes we don't want to. You might come in the dress.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go again.
back to you.
Thank you.
Mr. DJ comes south. Or from the south.
Yeah, so we... I moved back up here. Couldn't find work in radio, so I said, "Well, let me try to get into voice acting." Mm-hmm. So it was one of my favorite things. I loved voicing commercials, and I would love to get into where I could voice cartoons for my children, and which is eventually what led me to get on board with the Rusty Bucket.
I got you.
So I'm always looking to do stuff for my kids, mm-hmm. But I started getting into acting to build my resume so I could start auditioning for some of these voice roles,
mm-hmm.
start working on my chops a little bit in front of the camera and behind a mic. And there weren't that many jobs out there. So I said, well, you know, if I can't get any acting jobs, I might as well make some for myself. So I started writing short films.
Constantly reinvent oneself.
Exactly. Thing. And this all happened within a couple of weeks. So.
Okay, the concentrated enigma. Yeah,
you know, you got to find where you're going.
Desperation.
So we started, my wife and I started working on short films. And as I started writing them, I realized I'm not right for this character.
So. Right for what character?
The characters that I was writing.
Oh, I see.
You didn't write for yourself.
I didn't write for myself. That was my big problem. And then I realized, okay, maybe I should try my hand at directing.
Mm-hmm.
And such began the first of the Instant Message series, or IM for short, with a character named Happy Guy 147,
uh-huh.
played by the incredible Nick Carner, who has been... involved with every last one of my films from that time on.
All right.
And he is a great friend, a great filmmaker, did some training out in London and does theater work as well as film work.
Is he English or is
No, he's American. He's American. But he's got such a broad range. Hmm. He is a great guy to have on board, and I'm very lucky to have met him. And met him actually the same day that I met Chris Holdsworth, who is the lead actor in the upcoming Simon Says.
Okay.
Who is also an aspiring filmmaker, who I worked with him on his first project with Lanyap Motion Pictures with Michael Devereaux. That was Mixed Assumptions. I was the director of photography on that one. You know, we've kind of built this little group of people in the Triangle area, and I think that's a really big thing that a lot of people need to realize is you've got to build your base. Find people you can work with.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I work so well with Nick and so well with Chris, and Mike Devereaux and I worked so well on Mixed Assumptions together. And, you know, that's one thing a lot of people forget is you need to build your base. You work outside of that. Expand it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much going on. There's no reason we can't work together and not against each other. And that's the big message that I want to give to the film community.
It's good to have that mental resource there, too. Where
exactly.
Interacts and responds.
Right. I mean, this is not Hollywood. We're not in L.A.
And Hollywood's not that impressive.
So. Exactly. So, I mean, why can't we do things on a smaller budget with lower technology if we do it right?
I would much rather see a good story and good acting than any special effects at all, personally.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Because, I mean, let's look at how many of the old films they are remaking were worth remaking in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they may not need to be remade, but they had such great stories and were so much fun to watch in the theaters that, you know, they struck a chord with somebody.
And I think part of it, too, is just a way of communicating to today's youth, to today's generation, because a lot of them, for some reason, don't want to go look at the older movies. So they do a remake because they know they never saw the original in the first place.
Exactly.
So they're not looking at the old black and whites anymore. It's everything that comes out now that they're going for.
Right. So, you know, that's kind of where I got started was with the short films. And then in late 2009, I was writing the script for Dead End Job, along with another one called Silentium Est Aureum, which is Latin for Silence is Golden.
Ah, is that what it is?
Yes, it is.
Kept out the lamb's part.
Yeah, Silence is Golden, Duct Tape is Silver.
And Pi R Squared, yeah.
There you go.
I did open that can, didn't I?
The next couple of movies.
You know, so, but yeah, you know, I was working on Silentium as my next project, but that kind of fell apart for various reasons, and I turned to Dead End Job and said, you know what, this is going to be a lot more fun. It's not a serious film. It's, you know, a dark comedy. We're going to have some laughs. And we threw the whole thing together in 6 weeks.
Wow.
15 days of filming and $1,000 budget.
Hmm.
So we don't need huge amounts. I mean, yeah, that $1,000 was really spread thin. Mm-hmm. We had, you know, some days that we had granola and water on set as food. But, you know, we kept everybody happy as
and
best we could.
And hopefully the profit can be made later, right, when
right.
the film does
I mean,
well.
We made some mistakes with Dead End Job because we were rushing, but we did pull away a good couple of awards for it. Like I mentioned, the Pittsburgh Film Festival and Cape Fear. So apparently we did something right. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything, but, you know, we did it. Yeah. And, you know, we don't have to be these multi-million-dollar projects.
Right.
Now, as Bob has been saying, we do need money. We got to put food on the table for these actors. Some people need gas money to get back and forth.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, we appreciate all the support we can get. And that's why a lot of us are using this website called Kickstarter or Indiegogo. And these are like safe ways for people to donate to films that they want to get behind.
What do you mean by safe ways?
It's set up as like a... it's like an e-commerce type thing.
Okay, so nobody can get your identity. And
exactly. Okay. We've been using Kickstarter, which if anybody is interested and wants to see more about Simon Says, they can go to Kickstarter and just search for Simon Says. Okay. And there's also ways you can search by town. So if you've got an interest in supporting your community, like if you wanted to search for somebody in Raleigh, Durham,
find out
Cary,
who's doing what, so to speak.
Exactly. Gotcha. You can go to these different, you can search by town or search by state and find out what's going on, and you can pledge your donation towards a project. And it's not just film projects. It's music, it's art, people with inventions that they're trying to get, you know, just the money to put together the cost for patenting it.
Sure.
Things like that. So, Kickstarter is a fantastic way for people to get behind it. And also, we're working with the Apex Arts Council. Mm-hmm. Did you want to talk?
Well, I can talk about that. I mean, the
if I may interrupt for just a moment, the Apex Arts Council just sponsored my event,
right? And we can do that. I mean, we are a legitimate nonprofit, 501c3 educational charitable organization, and there are ways of helping artists using an arts council too. If you have money, you're looking to put it in. And you're saying, well, you know, what am I going to get out of it? Well, there are ways of doing it where you can get at least a tax deduction from it. There's the designated gift, which allows you to donate to a charitable organization, and then the charitable organization will pass the money on to the artist because you have designated into a special fund, but we will manage the money so that it is handled appropriately, and yet you still get a tax deduction. It's all perfectly legal, and there's a lot of ways we can do it. It's essentially just a grant funneled through a nonprofit that that can really help you out and help out the filmmakers.
Absolutely.
That's why we're here. I mean, I'm fond of telling people I don't believe in starving artists. Artists need food. They need to work. They need to be able to be paid for what they do. I don't like arts councils that go around saying, oh, donate me a piece of art so I can sell it and stay in business. No. An arts council can't stay in business on their own. They don't belong in the business. It's up to us to support the artist, to promote the artist, and that's what it's all about.
We'd like to thank Mr. Bob for that.
Well, that's what Mr. Bob is trying to do.
That's great.
Good.
It really is good.
Good
Bob.
Cause.
Yeah.
And I think one thing I'd like to mention that I've got coming up as well that you might be interested in as well as Audrey, I'm working with a great friend of mine down in Tallahassee, Florida. Mm-hmm. We are collaborating on a series called Sports Talk that is based off our lives as sports talk show hosts.
Hmm.
And his name's Brandon Sipple. I always mess that up.
Okay.
So he's not used to hearing his name on the air. So if he's listening, Brandon, I'm sorry I screwed it up. But
say it again.
Brandon Sipple.
There we go.
And we're working on Sports Talk as a TV series.
And explain Sports Talk, because right now I've just got the sportscaster notion in my head.
Right, and it would be, to really explain it, you've got to know who Brandon is as a radio DJ.
You should have seen that sucker kick the ball.
Well, essentially what you're doing is you're looking into a radio station, and the whole action is the interaction between the employees and the
manager. Oh, interesting, wonderful, yeah.
And plus the interaction outside of the station. See, we worked in a cluster. There were four stations in our building, and we had to interact with the people who were on each of those stations.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were not the kind of people that we wanted to associate with.
Aha.
But we had to interact with them on a daily basis. Now, Doc, who is the main character, who was Brandon's on-air name, he is what I would call the 30-something-year-old African-American Archie Bunker.
Perfect.
Which is his personality. He is the guy that hates everything, loves nothing except whatever goes on in his little world, in his box, mm-hmm. his studio. It's all about him. And I love him for that. And I'm hoping that our audience is going
to
love him.
Talk to us some more about this.
Hate him. And it'll, you know, we're looking at going several seasons if we can. We've already written a couple of episodes. We've got a whole season's worth of episodes that we're planning out.
Wow.
Sounds
like fun.
Yes, it does.
You know, it's going to be lots of fun if we just get the support behind it.
Absolutely. I want a part.
And Bob always wants a part.
Well, we got to wrap up in about 2 minutes here. Let's give the contact information again for both Bob and you.
Well, why don't you go first? I'll.
Again, we can be found at, if you do a search for us on Kickstarter.com, just search for Simon Says or William Lilly. Or straight to me would be vimeo.com/moridogmovies. Again, that's MORIDOGMOVIES. Or you can find us on Facebook, Maury Dog Movies, or Eternal Rose Entertainment.
Perfect. And if you have any questions about what the heck was going on here today, you can always go to claudioarts.com. That's CLAUDIOARTS.com.
Okay, I'm going to take one quick minute here. First off, I'll let you know if you're interested in the Apex Arts Council. We have a website, of course, www.apexartscouncil.org, or you can find us on Facebook, and everybody seems to be on Facebook nowadays. But I want to mention one thing that I told you earlier, Claudia. I wanted to announce here that we are expanding. Yes. The Arts Council is, the Apex Arts Council is actually expanding. I've maintained for a long time that just because the name says Apex does not limit me just to the town limits. Mm-hmm. I run shows in Broadway.
As you proved this weekend, yeah.
Right. In Chatham County, in Durham, and all like this. Well, a couple of years ago, the Holly Springs Arts Council essentially... well, I don't want to say fell apart, but it just downgraded itself to being almost non-existent. And I was approached by the town recently to say, look, we don't necessarily want to recreate an arts council. Can you help us? I have a meeting later this week with the town manager and the Department of Parks, Culture, and Resources, Economic Development. Essentially, the Apex Arts Council is expanding, and we'll cover Holly Springs as well. So we
Fantastic.
Will be covering
so
both all
under
towns,
the same umbrella.
All under the
at some
same
point.
Umbrella, and we will move forward. And we've got all kinds of fun shows. In fact, I have 11 shows due between now and the end of October.
Well, we'll be talking some more about.
Oh,
all
we
that.
Will.
In the meantime, I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. This is WCOM 103.5 FM, Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. I've had the pleasure of having the company of Bob Crowley, president of the Apex Arts Council, William Lilly, whom I met on the set of The Rusty Bucket.
I appreciate you having me.
Independent film, and we'll do this again.
Thank you.
And, of course, my lovely co-host, Audrey Layden. This is yours truly, Claudio. You keep us tuned in, and we'll keep you turned on. Until next time, cheers.